Have your New Testaments with you. We're going to be in the New Testament at this hour, and we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, 24 through 29. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do not share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me." As we look at this passage of Scripture, I believe that what we find as Paul talks about the subject of preaching Christ is the importance of Jesus Christ. And that's a theme of Paul through this short epistle to the Colossians. He starts out in the first chapter by talking about Christ's place in creation, that He is the preeminent one. Then he talks about His place in redemption, that He is the reconciler of all, that all men are reconciled to God through Him. And then thirdly, His place in the church, that He is the head of the church, which is His body. And Paul in this passage comes down to this conclusion that God has revealed that Christ is in you, the very hope of glory. In the lesson this morning, what I want to really emphasize is this last verse of this passage that I read to you, or actually the 28th verse, where Paul says, "We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Paul declares here that he preaches Christ. The New American Standard says he proclaims Christ. The Old King James says he preaches Christ. Christ is the focus of Paul's preaching. I believe in this case he uses the descriptive term Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, rather than the given name of Jesus, which Paul often uses in his exhortations. And I believe that really suggests to us that when Paul says he's preaching Christ, that means he preaches the entire significance of what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. As we look at this passage of Scripture, he says, "This is what I proclaim," or "This is what I preach." Preach is from a Greek word that really means to declare or to report down. And so the idea is that one reports it or declares it to another. And I believe this word emphasizes what Paul states in this passage to the Colossians. First of all, that his ministry was a stewardship to which he was appointed by God. And so the message doesn't really start with Paul. It starts with God. And he is committed and has been committed by God to the task of bringing that message down to others and preparing it and presenting it to others. His message was not his own. His message was that which was revealed to him by the God who called him into his ministry. But what I really want to focus on for the few moments of this lesson in this portion of our services is that in this passage that we have read, Paul really expresses three objectives that characterize his preaching. And that will be our focus. We want to look at each one of these in a little more detail. And then that will be the lesson that we have planned to present this morning. And so, first of all, we understand that he says, "It is my desire to admonish every man." Now, if you happen to read from the King James or the New King James, it says, I want to warn every man. Most of the modern translations use the word admonish. This is from a Greek word, and it basically means instruction that warns. Now, there's really three Greek words that are often in our English Bibles translated or brought into our English Bibles by the same English word, which is to teach or instruct. And Paul uses two of those three words in this passage. And so I believe that's by intent, that it communicates an idea to us. And this word in the Greek means instruction that warns. By its very nature, it deals with warning us against the things that are wrong. It's based upon teaching. And it's distinguished from the word that is not used in the passage. I said there were three. This is one. The second one, then, the one that is not used is paideo, from which we get the English word pedagogue. And it means the use of discipline to teach. For instance, that's the word that's used in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 to bring children up in the discipline or the training and instruction of the Lord. It is the word which in Hebrews 12 and verse 6 is translated chastens, the chastening of the Lord. And so he basically distinguishes from that. Now, it used to be that the pedagogy or that type of teaching was common in education, even in American education. I went to public schools. I have a number of friends and associates that went to parochial schools. And they tell me of having their knuckles wrapped by the ruler that the nun held just because they didn't recite it right. Now that's that word paideo, discipline them till they get it right. It's also used in the military a good bit. You know, discipline until it comes right. Paul doesn't use that word in this passage. He says, my preaching is, first of all, to warn every man. So I'm going to say things to them, and I'm going to conclude in my lessons things that will warn them of the dangers of not aligning themselves with God. It applies to every man. And then the other thing he says about it is, I do that in all wisdom. Paul emphasizes that preaching contains all the wisdom that man needs. That's what he wanted to do. That was his constant concern. When I think about this, I think about Paul's statement to the Ephesian elders in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20. You remember he called them together, and this is what he says to them in verse 27. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. See the warning? Be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Paul emphasized that his preaching should contain all the wisdom that was needed. And that was his concern. That's why he could say to the Ephesian elders, I did not hold myself back. While I was with you, I made sure that I taught you all the things you would need to know to withstand the threats. And the threats are coming. The objective of such teaching is to enable the Christian to avoid the threats that Satan will bring about him. Those things will not damage his relationship with the Lord. Paul said, that's my concern, and I want to suggest to you that faithful preaching is always concerned with preaching the whole message to every man. If we preach only certain things to certain people because we feel that they are more receptive to those things, then we do them no favor. The gospel needs to be preached in its entirety to every man. The second thing Paul said was that he wanted to teach every man. Now, that's the third word that is often found in Scripture. It's actually the most familiar word for teaching. It's the Greek word didasko, and perhaps you've heard that before. It's used 97 times in the New Testament, and it's always translated by the English word teach. And what it simply means is to impart instruction. To take information that you have and give it to someone else, to impart that to them. And so while the first word had to do with warning, which was one of Paul's goals, he says, the other thing I want to do is inform. I want to make sure that you know what you need to know. And while this looks repetitive and is repetitive, he says, I'm going to teach. I'm going to impart knowledge in my preaching. And I'm going to do that for every man and in all wisdom. So we can say exactly the same things we just said about the first word, about warning. But I won't say all that again. You don't need to hear it twice, and your stomachs may be growling already. I don't know. But understand that what Paul is saying is it doesn't matter whether you're preaching to warn or whether you're preaching to inform. It is universally applicable, and it needs to be done wisely. The third thing he says, my goal is to perfect every man. And I want to suggest to you that the first two phrases, I want to admonish or warn, I want to teach or instruct, describes the means of preaching. It describes the method, the way, what Paul's way of doing things was. While this third one describes what the objective is, what the end goal is. I'm going to admonish, I'm going to teach, and my goal is to perfect the hearer. We can note here that the objective of this one is the same as every one of the other two. It is for every man. But Paul says he wants to present them. That's an interesting word itself. It means to set beside. And so if you think about our English word present, not as in at the current time, but present is in what we want at our birthday or at a holiday. If you give someone a present, what do? And we just passed through a holiday season, and people get together, and I witnessed this multiple times in the last several weeks, and probably you have too. You're at a restaurant, and in come people, and they're obviously meeting for the holidays, and they sit down at the table, and before the server can even get their order, one person reaches into their purse or their briefcase and brings out a holiday present, and what does they do? What do they do with it? They set it right in front of the person. They present it. That's why it's a present. That's where this word comes from. And so, see this as how it pictures for us and how it causes us to understand what Paul's saying. Paul doesn't preach to prove that he's the most admired of the 12 apostles. He doesn't preach and teach. He doesn't warn and teach to create his own following. He warns and teaches so that the ones that he warns and teaches, he can present to God. Because he has helped create in them a certain kind of person, a certain kind of disciple. And so, he wants to present them, the King James Version says, perfect. Most of the modern translations have some other word that has to do with the idea of completion. The New American Standard says, present you complete. The Revised Standard Version, which very few people use anymore, probably has, to me, the most realistic definition. He says, I warn you and I teach you because I want to present you to God as a mature being, a mature disciple. That's Paul's objective. And it's actually from a Greek word that means the end of something. And so he says, my admonishing and teaching has an end view. It has an objective. It's all about getting the hearer to where they need to be. And that word in Greek, if it's applied to fruit, is translated ripe. So it's that which is full grown, which has met its end objective. It's mature. Thus, the goal of all preaching and teaching, the admonishing and the instruction, is to bring Christians to a stage of spiritual maturity in Christ. Our teaching and our preaching is not designed to complete men from a worldly or secular point of view. And to be very pointed about it, that's why there is so much problem with modern religion. Where is the focus of the teaching and the admonition and the encouragement and the training that goes on under the name of religion? I haven't seen it yet, but we're very early in January. But there is a church that I pass regularly. It's on a road that I use all the time, and one of my golfing buddies happens to go there. And he's very involved in their ministry. He's a retired CPA. And their sign, sooner or later, in the next couple of weeks, will have on it, come to this special service or the special program that we're having, and we'll teach you how to do your taxes. Now, Cody's, you know. My solution was marry an accountant. I don't worry about that anymore. But it's really not the church's job to help me learn to do my taxes, to help me learn to cook. There's another church I pass regularly on the way to visit my father in the senior living facility that he's in. These are good things. They offer English classes for non-English speaking immigrants. And I think that's really a good thing. But I can't envision Paul saying that's my purpose as a preacher of the gospel. We're not saying those things are not valuable, that they're not important, that somebody doesn't need to be doing them. We just are saying you should not confuse that with the job of preaching Christ. Preaching is not designed to complete men from a worldly or secular point of view. Gospel preaching is for the purpose of completing us spiritually, helping us develop so that we can address our weaknesses and build upon our strengths as spiritual people, so that we come to the end of the way as mature men and women in Christ Jesus. Paul understood the value of that. And he told King Agrippa at the very near the end of his life, right as he was being sent off to prison, that he understood that. In Acts 26 and verse 19, he says, "So King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision." He's telling him about his conversion back in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. He says, "But I have kept declaring both to those at Damascus first and also to Jerusalem, then throughout all the region of Judea, and then even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. And for this reason, some of the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and to great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Did you see what Paul said there? "Once I found the gospel, starting at Damascus, every place I have ever been in my life, in spite of whatever opposition my enemies might present, I had one purpose, and that was to preach Jesus Christ." Those of us who preach should realize that that is the apostolic pattern of preaching. That is should be our goal, to emulate Paul. And those of us who listen to preachers should demand no less of the people who stand before us. If I am not here to preach Christ, I am wasting your valuable spiritual time. He is to be exalted, and he will save us if we will but submit to him. Again, as we come, we're singing the invitation song, and not knowing the heart of anyone in the audience, if you need to respond to the saving message of Jesus Christ this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.